ANC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, where you got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh, man, Corey Majors.
Oh, man.
The famous Alec Medford and the lingering Peyton Russell. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck you doing today? How the heck is everybody out there in Radio Land? 877-881-1053. Franklin Injury Attorney text line or the Twitch or the YouTube.
Well, the Wings won, so I'm doing pretty good today, Kevin.
At the AAC.
At the American Airlines Center over the best team in America.
They are not.
Oh, really? They're not?
No.
They have to be. They have Caitlin Clark. They're good.
They are good.
They're the goodest ones.
They're not the best because the Lynx and Valkyries exist.
The 806. Welcome to the KNC Masterpiece. I'm the progressive cowboy, Kevin Hagelin.
Hey, you're going to have to wait like 3 more hours for that. Okay? We'll get to it, apparently.
Well, the KNC Twitter tweeted out the Masterpiece of the Week list, and people are already voting without even like getting to hear the rest of it. So it's exciting. It's an exciting time. But yeah, Kevin, I'm really excited for the Wings. The Rangers got a win last night.
Hell yeah.
The Cardinals, this is a preseason game, so it's likely the Cowboys win against the Cardinals. So there's a lot
of this regular season. You're like, I don't know.
There's a lot of good things going on right now.
All right, and you're right. And we really should talk about those things in Dallas Cowboys news of the day. But I need feedback.
Okay.
All right? What percentage of Americans right now who are 18 or above have A, smoked weed.
Oh my God.
I don't care if it's one time or 1,000 times.
Okay.
Irrelevant. Or would you? How much would you tweak that number if it included like edibles and stuff? I'm not going to go into oils. So if you do like CBD oils and stuff, I'm not counting that. But I'm saying like you did edibles versus you smoked. What do y'all think those percentages are at? Because we've already got some shockingly different numbers just in this room, and I really want to know that.
All right, so.
And then also tell me when the Cowboys are going to lose their first game. See? Sports! I don't know why I said that.
I need to go look at the schedule real quick.
Okay. Focus on weed.
Okay.
I'll tell you the schedule.
I think there's the trope of the I only use this because you use it all the time, and I hope I'm using it correctly.
You are.
Of the stoner is well overdone.
Sure.
But also, because it's so funny and prevalent to you, people think that that's the bigger population of type of stoner, right? Like the idea of it is, oh man, I got to order a pizza and eat my Doritos, man. And let's make all the flavors of Doritos one bag.
There was definitely a time that I thought Doritos and Mountain Dew was strictly being subsidized by marijuana people.
Yeah. And so I think that like that's if you looked at the old school movies that they would have, they always had that one guy out of the 10 students, like Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
But then there was still 6 or 7 that were partaking. They just weren't Matthew McConaughey's version or the other guy's version. You know?
Right.
So there were still 6 or 7, maybe 8. So it could be up to 80% has done it. But then, Kevin, there's a lot of people like you that I've met that are like, I don't want to get involved in that because of A, B, C, whatever purpose it is. I still think this is a ridiculous question to ask Artolos because our audience, Kevin, is one of the cleanest audiences on the planet. Not a single one of them has ever, will ever, or is right now involved in a cannabis situation.
Well, since the Fantex already seems to think I'm going to win Masterpiece of the Week, I'll tell you this. Our radio show dominates the wake and bake crowd like no other.
I don't think you're telling the truth.
In the Metroplex and maybe even in America. I've seen the feedback. I've talked to the people. And hey, that's fine. This is not a sting situation. I just want to know without having to like, I know people could just say Google it or whatever, but like, I just want to have a dialogue with the people on the streets and find out.
I'm a stoner.
was that Pac-Man?
Yeah. From the Super Bowl. Did you hear the other one? He goes, stoner.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, dude. from the 469. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Corey, but I'm high right now. I don't believe you because So that's just what I'm going to...
Have you known people on weed to lie well?
Have you known people on
weed? On weed to lie well.
I don't know. I don't know that I know the answer to that. I feel like that trap gets tangled up real quickly. You know what's interesting? Bobby brought this up yesterday. Is it the Key and Peele bit where he was like, hey, let me hit that? He's like, oh, you don't want to hit this. And he's like, what do you mean? Let me hit that. And he's like, weed's not the same as it used to be when you used to smoke. And he's like, oh man, just let me hit that. He's like, we've had this conversation three times in the last 20 minutes. We've already hit it. And that's what Dawson and I were talking about that one day. He was like, it's different now than it was whenever we were, because now there's not like a pure form of just the flower. Everything's
right.
been genetically modified. It's stronger than ever before.
I actually stopped smoking today. This is my first day clean. Well, this is an unfortunate start to the program for you. I apologize. I hope
Kevin's
it does not
tempting you into sin.
No. I hope it does not impact your journey whatsoever. I'm not a narc, and from the 817, I get it though. Like if I showed up at your party, I would also think I'm a narc. And from the 817, unfortunately, Kevin, that information is classified under HIPAA law. That is not how HIPAA works at all.
Yeah, man. I think that, and again, I still remember, was it whenever it got legalized, they were like, in Colorado, people were like, there are so many overdoses happening in Colorado. And I was like, what are you talking about
now?
Overdoses on weed? I think you just smoke yourself sober in those situations.
Oh.
Happened before, Kevin.
Okay.
To some people.
Yeah. All right. Nobody you know. All right. Go ahead and give me cut number 5. Okay, stop. You know you're on camera too, right?
Huh?
Go ahead and give me cut number 5, and let's talk about when the Cowboys will lose their very first game.
High snap. Mignano with time. Over the middle. It's Jacoby Lane. Caught at the 2. Dives for the end zone, and he's in. Jacoby Lane stamps the debut with a touchdown, and the Ravens strike first.
Now, you might be able to guess from that audio, if you're able to piece together those very subtle clues, when CBS Sports says the Cowboys will lose their very first game. But I want to know from y'all as we go any further, because this article is really interesting in terms of who will be the last undefeated team standing. And so Cowboys open at the Giants, host Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a loss there?
Kevin, I don't have a loss until November 1st against the Arizona Cardinals. That's the only team this team can lose to.
Does that mean they would be 7-0 and Arizona would be 0-7 at the time and we would lose that game?
Yep, and then 7-1 and 1-7, Kevin. I honestly think the Ravens game is going to be tough. You got to travel for one. That travel's not going to be easy. And quite honestly, the way the Cowboys' schedule lines up is pretty fast and active very quickly. Almost up to the bye week, dude. It's like bam, 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 bam.
It feels different from last year.
Yeah. And so, but I could totally see them. I think the first two games, not our cakewalks, but our great showings of how far this defense has come this year. And so I think that Ravens game is a good sign, but I don't think the Texans game is going to be easy.
From the 2-1-4, they will lose their very first game. Look, this will depend on your expectations of the Giants. If you think Harbaugh is going to take them to unbelievable heights in their very first year, that might not be such a bad loss. On the surface, it feels like that would be a bad loss. CBS has the Dallas Cowboys losing their first game to the Ravens in Week 3, that Brazil game. But what's interesting...
I got it to the Texans.
Okay.
Texans for me is that, so they'll be 3-0 going into the Texans game.
Woo!
And they'll play at noon and they'll be like, we don't understand what playing at noon is all about.
Okay. Well, CBS has the Texans losing their first game to the Bills for whatever that's worth.
Okay. All right.
But what I thought was really interesting is you go on down the list and the last team that they have undefeated is in fact those very same Ravens. Part of the reason is because the Ravens opened the season by playing 7 straight games against teams that finish under 500. And so, and that includes the Cowboys, obviously. And that could put them at 7-0. And if you look at week 7 and then week 8, there's some really marquee games on there because the Chiefs are at the Seahawks. And then in week 8, CBS has the Ravens taking their first loss on the road against the Bills. So if you do lose that game to the Ravens, but then the Ravens go on to start 7-0, I wonder if that would make you feel a little bit better, depending on how the rest of the games go. Because, like you said, if you end up losing to Houston and then Tampa, Green Bay, I don't really think any of that
will matter. Oh, I didn't have them losing another game after the Texans.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Until Green Bay. Actually, I don't have them losing Green Bay, Kevin. I think they're psyched up. I think there's some dudes on this team that want to show Green Bay defensively.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So let's keep moving down that one. It is the Cardinals game. That's their next loss. So,
I mean, this is going to sound weird. And then
obviously the Niners.
I would be totally fine with that if that meant you kept winning. Now, would I be embarrassed to lose it to a team that I project at that point will have 0 or 1 victory? Mm-hmm. Yes. But if you get to week 8 and that's loss 2, I accept. Right now, absolutely.
Somebody said, no disrespect. This is 817. No disrespect, but do you really think, you really believe a 2-hour chartered flight really affects a team's gameplay? I do. I think travel affects everybody in some way, whether it's the flight, the packing, the getting things together, whatever it is, I think it affects everybody in some way. Plus, they're going to where? Brazil. The place where we love to party, Kevin. I don't know if you've been to Brazil.
I have not.
I haven't either, but I've watched movies. Especially okay.
This is Brazil.
That movie right there is pretty much the honest truth.
Which Fast and the Furious was that?
The best one, because it was in Brazil.
Okay.
But like the point is, I think travel just affects people. It really does, and it's because it takes you out of your element. Now, that being said, Baltimore does have to travel further. Like, they do have a longer flight for what it's worth there. But I always think that having to not be in your own element just changes things up a little bit. So that maybe it is the Ravens game, Kevin.
All right. I wanted to go through a few other things when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys news of the day. Nick Harris with some practice observations that included Jonathan Mingo, active once again with multiple catches. But Von Miller, he played four snaps, got a pressure on his very first snap. Donovan Azuraku had a tackle for loss that he blitzed by Nate Thomas for. Shamar James had another sack on a linebacker blitz. I do love the linebacker blitz. I really do. And then these are the things that make you nervous. DeMarvion Overshown went down at one point in practice and immediately came off the field, ran along the sideline, talked briefly with the medical staff, and then went back out. But more than, I mean, maybe not Dak, but more than any other player on the roster, that's a hold-your-breath moment anytime he doesn't immediately pop back up, right?
Yes. Oh, for sure, dude. Again, because what do you do if he's down? Seriously.
Yeah.
What's your next option, Kevin?
Yeah. I guess Winters?
Shamar James?
I mean, I did tell you he just had the blitz sack, so.
I mean, listen, and you know what? Maybe Shamar James has so much more to offer this year and year two and everything, but I haven't heard anything about Shamar James at all aside from your telling me today that he had a blitz sack.
Right.
So, like, I haven't heard anything. This is one of the reasons that I'm like, let's go ahead and add Jordan Brooks to this thing if we can. I'm perfectly fine let's go ahead and trade what it takes. Get that guy in here. He's a great tackler, great player, smart, high IQ dude, veteran. I'm perfectly fine with it because something was to happen to him or Winters.
Yeah.
You know, like, and Justin Barron's your next option. You said he might not even make the team.
It is possible.
Barham, you know, I'm still, maybe he's better than we think, Kevin.
Now, take this for what you will. We wanted to hear more from Malachi Lawrence. He did have a sack in practice yesterday against Terrence Steele.
Oh, man, he's a starting NFL tackle.
Okay. And then they did a lot of special teams yesterday, and Amir Speed was going out there with the ones.
Uh-oh. Because of his name?
I mean, that does make sense, but obviously they're looking for hybrid positional players, and I wonder how much of an impact that made. And we've talked a whole lot already about special teams.
Dudes who can do it all.
Absolutely. Now, Jerry Jones said that the Cowboys are going to internally fine players that they deem responsible for the $500,000 organizational fine handed down by the NFL from the joint practice with the Saints. Do you know the fine equivalency if you had a net worth of $10,000? $6.34.
I'll pay a six. Dude, you know what, though? $6 fine's still a lot.
So you're going to go to the people and you're like, hey.
Not if I have that much money. Not if I have that much money. But the $6, if you have a net worth of $10,000,
yeah.
$6, you're like, dude, I need that $6.
I hear you.
But not if you have that much money.
But I'm also thinking to my teens and early 20s when I definitely did not have a $10,000 net worth and $6 would throw around on the stupidest things in the world.
Like what?
You know.
Your prison sentence?
That was even before that. So, yeah, just keep an eye out on that. I wonder how will go over with the team.
Was it necessary?
To find them or for him to say that?
And the fines are stupid. Okay, for one.
Ooh, tell me why.
Because of this thing, it's stupid.
Okay.
Just the
concept of fines.
Like they're out there doing some stuff. They're playing a physical sport. It's going to happen. Why you got to act like this is a soft sport? It never has been.
Does that equate in other avenues? Like if you play Monopoly and you have to throw money in the middle, you're like, screw you, community chest.
No.
This is stupid.
No, because I'm going to collect that soon.
Oh, okay.
I'm very good at Monopoly. I'm going to get that at some point. But no, like this is one of those, like, I just think it's dumb to find them for the fighting situation. It didn't happen on the real field.
Yeah.
And it's a practice, and it's not, nobody got hurt from it, right? So, like, everything seems fine there, but I just didn't know that they're fining people for practice anymore. We're talking about practice.
Yeah, because they're keeping a closer eye on, obviously, the joint practices. And then something that Clayton Adams said the other day is Terrence Steele consistency. He goes, it's really been up and down the camp. And I feel like usually you get more kind of positive reactions coming out of, you know, certain people and coaches and stuff for training camp. So to hear that was kind of fascinating.
You got to be honest. You have to be honest at this point in the assessment of everything that's going on.
And then I'm sure we'll get more of these and they'll update them and whatnot. But The Athletic predicted the Cowboys to finish 9-8. And Bleacher Report has the Cowboys at 10-7. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Yes, we did have that discussion this morning. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Is Tyler Smith in the NFL Top 10? Next on The Fan.
Side the one, Lipke motion right to left. Handoff, Javonte Williams, bang at left guard. And the Cowboys score the first touchdown of the season.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Powered by Men's Tea Clinic. It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and rip it.
Now let's start with the question we posed on the other side. Is Tyler Smith in the NFL Top 10? What do you think?
Either he's in it or he's left off the list.
What if he's 11 or 12?
Oh, yeah. My bad. I thought we were down to the top 10. So either he's in it or he's left off the list or he's in the top 12.
Those are all of the possible options. That is factually accurate.
I'm going to say he's number 12.
Number 12. Is one Will Anderson.
Wow.
He has moved up 34 spots from 46 to 12.
That's a big jump. That's a giant jump right there.
I might think that's kind of low.
I think
actually,
so too.
Never mind. I think he's better than the next person on the list. So.
Oh, no, it's Tyler Smith. Kevin thinks Will Anderson's better than Tyler Smith.
Come on. Do you think Will Anderson is better than Tyler Smith?
Pass.
That's what I thought. Number 11 on the list, quarterback for the New England Patriots, one Drake May. And yes, really? I will say I do think Will Anderson is better than Drake May, as Drake May makes his first appearance in the, which is a weird comparison, I know, his first appearance in the NFL Top 100 at number 11. So, to your point, Tyler Smith, it sure does appear, is in the top 10. I cannot fathom him not being in the top 100.
I just, the respect that I hear from other people,
I mean,
around the league that cover it, just everything about him is, this dude's a monster and nobody wants to play against him.
Right.
So I'm with you, dude. I'm concerned. I'm very concerned that they're like, oh no, the only good players on the Cowboys are the three offensive players that produce the
I don't think
points.
I'm so sorry, Steven. I do not believe that he is going to make it.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed, you know? You never know what options might lie before you.
Yes. That is true.
Yeah, I just like, and again, if he's in the top 10, Kevin, did Zach Martin ever make the top 10? I don't know.
You know, I'd have to go back and check.
I don't think he did.
That's crazy to me.
And that's wild. So if he's in the top 10, that's something that he's already in the Hall of Fame at this point.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and put him in there. Give him the jacket. You can say you can retire this year, buddy.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back through the list again and figure out who is left.
Out of the offensive linemen, too?
Yes. But, I mean, there are people that you immediately, like, you know, Josh Allen is going to be in there, right? We didn't get him already, did we?
I don't think so.
Matthew Stafford is going to be in there. Jahmyr Gibbs, Patrick Surtain, Myles Garrett, I would imagine. So, yeah, I need to...
Michael Parsons.
No,
what about
not
Michael Parsons.
Michael Parsons.
Since they started this, Kevin, this is wild, right? That since they started, only one defensive player has ever been number one.
Really?
And only...
I think Garrett is going to be number one.
And only one non-quarterback aside... Oh, I'm sorry, two defensive players. Aaron Donald also got it. J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, and Adrian Peterson. Other than that, it's always quarterbacks.
Okay.
Weird.
Interesting.
Oh,
yeah.
Hold on, never mind. Last 2 years was... Never mind. Screw this list.
Okay.
I'm out on this if Tyler Smith isn't number one.
All right. Well, I mean, look, Tyler Smith was number one in ESPN's interior lineman, so I would be inclined to think he is there. All right. Let's go from that to some NFL preseason. Yesterday... It was a tough day for Fernando Mendoza. Had his first pick six in the NFL, though I do appreciate afterwards he came out and said, look, it just shows that I have a lot more to learn.
Uh-huh.
And it's preseason.
Also, maybe you don't need to chase down the guy running the football back in the preseason.
Yeah.
And get stiff-armed.
Yeah, that is a tough lesson to learn.
That was bad, dude. Like, and do you think that Kubiak brought him to the side and was like, hey, man, don't do that?
Sure.
I think Kubiak did say, was it this morning or last night, he's not going to commit to a starting quarterback yet for the season opener still?
Yeah, he goes, I got a week.
All right, yeah, sure.
Figure it out.
You have Cousins, and you're like, no, I just, Fernando Mendoza looked pretty sharp tonight.
I would be like, is it because you think one of them's not ready and one of them's not good enough?
Ooh, which one's not ready?
Well, see, but I'll let him interpret that question however he sees fit.
Did you hear Mendoza last night on the sideline with Laura Rutledge?
Oh, no.
And he said, tell Mr. Buck I said hi. And she goes, what about Mr. Aikman?
Come on, Daddy.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
That's just how polite he is. He's like, oh, Mr. Buck, how's it going?
But not Mr. Aikman.
Good to see you.
All right, so... You were talking in the first segment about fines when it comes to the joint practices and everything. Well, get ready for another one of those fines to come out, because yesterday the Giants-Dolphins practice was filled with fights. Players were pulled off of the practice field because of this. And Jeff Hafley, who, remember, just a few days ago said about his wide receivers, no block, no rock. He said he... was very disappointed that players had to be kicked out and everything like that. And then we go to Saquon Barkley, who said, quote, I hate joint practices. Specifically, he goes, I'm the wrong guy to ask because I hate joint practices. I think one day is good.
Kevin, I think the Giants should be fined the maximum penalty for this. The Dolphins not, but the Giants for sure. So much so, they should be fined draft picks for the future. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would support that.
Now, Cowboys won.
Cowboys a competitive advantage.
Stupid that they fine them, but for the Giants, you fine them whatever.
So much worse.
Yes, yeah, so I mean, did you see what happened?
Yeah.
I read that they were fighting. So yeah, fine them everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's talk about international football.
Okay.
Because we discussed this a couple days ago when Roger Goodell's like, look, it's a matter of if and not when. And I want to go back to the 2023 Athletic Anonymous NFL Player Poll. A majority of players, 55.4%, said they would not want to play on an NFL team based overseas. 35% said yes, and 9.5% said maybe.
Okay.
So that's a tough start, and maybe opinions have evolved over the last 3 years, but if you go at that last data point, you've got 55.5 that wouldn't want to do it to essentially 44.5.
That's actually that a pretty big number that would.
Yeah, either a yes or a maybe.
Yeah.
So perhaps that gives you somewhere to start.
Does that mean that they would want more pay to be there? And they're like, look, if let's negotiate something here.
You know,
or
that's a really interesting question. And then what I've always wondered, I should have gone back and looked this up, like when it came to the Blue Jays and stuff like that. And I know contracts have evolved. Could you require that you get paid in U.S. dollars as opposed to like euros? Because I'm going to focus.
You can require that
you
get paid Bitcoin.
That's a good point.
So I wouldn't
why,
see
not?
Why not?
That is a great point.
But I'd wonder what you. I guess you have to pay whatever taxes still. So like that's. And I don't know what their tax rates are overseas.
Yeah, I have to admit I did not look far enough into that. But I'm fascinated by that discussion. Now, Yahoo put out their list of the four international cities most deserving of a franchise.
All right.
Number four, Madrid. So we're going to get Spain on there.
Yeah, that's real.
Number three. Okay, well done. Number three, Munich in Germany. I'm going to skip number two for a second. Number one is London.
London, now, France.
That is in England.
All right.
And number two on the list is Mexico City. So for the purposes of this discussion.
It's a perfect place.
I agree. But I don't think Mexico City would be in their international division. Now, I realize that your response could be, but they're not in the United States, and that is an insane take. But an international division of London, Munich, Madrid, and Mexico City doesn't work.
You have to fly.
Yeah, you're going to have the exact same travel problems or very similar travel problems as a lot of different teams in the United States. So I think Mexico City could be an expansion someday, but I don't think it would work in this international division.
Okay, which NFL team is furthest east?
The Giants and the Jets?
Okay, let's send the Jets. Who cares anyway, you know? So let's send the Jets over into that division and let them be that.
Look, if they ever had a team from Japan, I really do think they might just lump them in with, like, the Seahawks and teams like that.
So you think that there still needs to be another, like, a Italy or France?
Yes. Or I will let you decide based on some of these nicknames.
Even though they already have the London team.
That people submitted.
Ireland.
Okay, what would you think about the Dublin Rebels, the Madrid Bulls, the Berlin Blitz? I don't know about that one. But
Berlin Blitz is actually dope.
Yeah,
oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah. But the idea that London could house two teams, because that seems to be something that Goodell believes as well.
SoFi has two teams.
A good point, and that would help facilitate your division a little bit better as well. But if they did go to Sweden, tell me you would not want the team to be named the Stockholm Syndrome. Right?
It's pretty good.
So I have not got the sense.
It's pretty good.
I've not got the sense, Alec, that I can't tell if you're proud or disappointed. I've not gotten the sense that Sweden is high up on the NFL's expansion list, but if it is, it should be the Stockholm syndrome. And no one will change my mind about that.
I believe that part.
It looks like, Kevin, it looks like the Patriots are the furthest east.
Oh, okay.
On this map that I'm looking
at. Okay,
that
makes sense.
So it has the Patriots and Jets. So
sure. If
you really want to go take over other countries,
right,
you send in the most American thing, and that's a Patriot.
What?
Just like our missiles.
That makes a lot of sense. But
remember the Scud missile?
Yes, I do remember the Scud missile.
But it sounds so much worse than the Patriot missile,
it
too.
It does.
Like, you're like, ugh, it's a Scud. Good.
Yeah.
Scrape it off the bottom of my shoe. Why don't
yeah,
you?
Because it takes kind of the, it took scrubs from the time or duds and kind of put them all together.
Yeah.
I feel like Rudy from The Cosby Show might have said something similar to that.
Okay.
Didn't she call her friend a scrud or something like that? I don't think I might not be right, but I'm not too far off on that, I believe. But I still think long-term, there's a possibility if you got that international division, you would also expand out with another four-team division that it could include, like, your Mexico City and other expansion areas that you want to run in the NFL. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, where DeGrom hits a major milestone as the Rangers win a series. Next on The Fan.
DeGrom, a history of success against these Nationals, having faced them so much in the NL East. And a swing and a miss here on a slider, and there you go. Two batters, two punch-outs, and 2,000 career strikeouts for Jacob DeGrom.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we wonder out loud, if Trent Williams is number 40 on the list and Penei Sewell is 37, do you believe Tyler Smith is in the top 10?
I'm telling you, Alec, we're going to have to riot, bro.
Reconstruct Picket the side. List
we're gonna have
right
to,
now.
We're going to have to just say to the NFL, what are y'all thinking, guys?
To figure this out.
All right, roger.goodell@nfl.com.
This isn't even on him, though. This is on NFL.com. Hold on. I know that's the end of like an email address is like odyssey.com, right?
Right.
But it just sounded like you were writing to their website. You were writing to NFL.com where
his mailbag is going to hear from me.
He frequently releases his columns there.
All right. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron. I'm sorry.
Whoa.
I am doing the worst job because we moved gridiron today. Right
I
now.
I told you it was going to screw everything up.
I know.
Up.
You were right. You were right. It's time to fire up some baseball nuggets. And let's start with those Texas Rangers, who, believe it or not, were involved in their third straight shutout. Now, it is bounced back and forth as to who gets shut out, but for the second time in this series, you did shut out the Washington Nationals. Jacob DeGrom was tremendous. I believe it was Jared who said on the broadcast, it felt like vintage DeGrom because you had six innings pitch, one hit given up, one walk, and 10 strikeouts, including the clip that we just played, his 2,000th career strikeout. He is the second fastest pitcher in Major League Baseball history to get to 2,000 strikeouts. Who do you think is number one or perhaps number three? One of them played for the Rangers.
Played Mike Bassick Jr.
Not Mike Bassick. And I would argue
Nolan Ryan.
He's best known for being on the Rangers.
Oh, best known for being on the Rangers.
Some people might disagree with me.
Mike Minor.
No.
That's pretty damn good.
Yu Darvish is who DeGrom surpassed. He was in second place at 1,697 innings. DeGrom did it in 1,660 and a third innings. The record belongs to Chris Sale, who did it in 1,626 innings.
Can you imagine if you were Atlanta and you had Chris Sale and Jacob DeGrom right now?
Yes. I think about that quite a bit.
Now, the fact of it, of the matter here is this amount of innings is scattered over like 74 seasons.
It has been a minute. Yeah. That is fair.
It's just wild what kind of career he's had and how we might. We're going to discount the quantity of stuff because of the injury for his career.
Right.
And we're going to discount, like, we're always going to say could have been, even though when he stepped on the mound, he was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's going to lose its nuance. It's going to lose a little bit of that. That, hey, man, I know in the grand scheme of things, because we saw yesterday the question of is he a Hall of Famer on MLB Network. And we were, and that's up for debate down the road. But everybody knew this is going to be a tough day to hit, except for the guy in the first inning who knew where the fastball was coming and got a home run on that day, because usually that's going to happen, first inning home runs.
Right.
But other than
but
that,
it didn't.
Dude, yeah, usually, other than that, usually he's almost impossible to hit. It's wild.
Now, I have other positive, I was going to say positive pitching news. I will let you make that determination for yourself. Jack Leiter's final line in his rehab start. 3 innings pitched, 4 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts.
He's working on some stuff.
Exactly. And his velo topped out at 100.
Oh.
So he went out for the 4th, walked a batter, and they're like, all right, dude, you're done. So a step in the right direction, like you said, especially if you think he was really working on stuff.
You mentioned the velo. This is just a question I had this morning as I was kind of rolling around in my brain. Maybe I'll ask Chris Young this at some point, or maybe Skip. We did the study on strikeout teams and strikeout pitchers and how important strikeouts actually are. But does strikeout pitcher necessarily have to mean velocity?
No,
and
not at,
I don't
not
know
at
if,
all.
I don't know if they've done a study that those two things go hand in hand, and that's why we want you to throw hard for this amount of time, or if they're like, no, pitching matters so much more. And I feel like the past, the numbers prove the dudes that were strikeout pitchers had velocity, but also pitched really well. So
right.
That's something I've just always been curious about.
Now, this probably won't surprise you. The Athletic put out their list of X factors for every team competing for a wild card spot. For the Rangers, it is, in fact, Corey Seager. And it says,
he's back, baby.
He goes, look, the Rangers go when Corey Seager goes, and obviously I'm not going to argue about that offensively. We have seen it year after year after year. And with that in mind, you have made a huge positive step over the last week or so. I think you can go back to last Wednesday. It was last Wednesday when he hit the home run against the Angels. And then if you look at the last 4 games, he's had a total of 8 hits.
Yep.
So that has really picked up what was, outside of the Giants game, a fairly lackluster month for him. And now you can look at it and don't get caught up at the overall numbers, because the overall numbers are going to look bad, especially batting average, for the rest of the way. Because it's 218, 730 OPS. I hear you on that. But
he's played so few games, all those numbers can kind of go
actually,
up.
That is also fair. But his batting average for the month is 310. And his OPS for the month is 892. And so you're like, okay, great. I can roll with that.
Here's what I'd pay attention to. Pay attention to his actual at-bats.
Sure.
Last night, Kevin, that home run that he hit, he worked that. He worked that in his favor. Opposite field home run, which was kind of interesting to me. But we know Corey can hit pretty much anywhere on the field.
True.
He has that kind of power. But then he had another really good at-bat later in the night. And Kevin, I think over this stretch where you've seen this, the at-bats haven't looked as lost as he did earlier in the season, where he was just swinging at whatever. And you're like, dude, what are you even doing out there? That's the difference. Hopefully, you say they go as Corey goes. Hopefully the rest of the team gravitates towards that energy and goes, we need to have at-bats like he's having.
Yeah. Now, a couple of other positive things for the Rangers. I know it's not where you would want it to be, but MLB.com has the Rangers farm system ranked at number 20. This is a big move up for them. So you go back to last midseason, they were 26. this preseason, they were 25. So to see them move up to number 20, and then they have three of the top 100 prospects. Sebastian Walcott in at 9, Caden Scarborough, we've talked about him quite a bit, at 77, and Gio Rojas at number 97. Not surprisingly, those are ESPN's top three prospects for the Texas Rangers as well. So I'm not saying that's groundbreaking or anything, but at least you are moving in the right direction. For the Mariners, they did call up their top pitching prospect, Cade Anderson. So just keep an eye out on him, as we talked about maybe yesterday or the day before. That has been a catastrophic failure of a season for the Mariners so far. But in this division, you could still turn it around. And then, last thing I got for you, I will 100% watch this, and I think it's going to be really interesting. So the documentary is going to come out on September 10th. And it is going to be from MLB Network. It's a two-hour documentary about how baseball played a part in post-9/11 America. And I know we talk about the George Bush pitch, and I get that, but there was so much more to it, and it's going to be the 25th anniversary.
Uniting moments across the country.
Exactly. So it's going to be the 25th anniversary of 9/11, which feels crazy, but this is a documentary that I feel like is going to be a must watch.
Yeah. For those that live through it and for those that don't have a clue what we experienced.
Right.
Like our kids.
Right.
Have often asked.
Sure.
And you're like, this is a great example right
now. Yeah. I remember talking to my mom that day and she goes, hey, the world just changed. And she wasn't wrong. With a KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the Combo Platter Kool-Aid Day. Give us a sports opinion, and then what was your favorite food or drink as a kid that you haven't had in forever as an adult? Next on The Fan.